Good morning, church. It's so good to see all of you. Good to see some guests with us today as well. Today's a special day. We're going to be celebrating both our high school and our college seniors. And the major portion of our sermon time will be actually hearing from them. What we will be inviting them to share is in line with what we've been doing as a church in our sermon series, Ancient Paths, as we go through the Apostles' Creed, the foundation of our faith. And the line of the creed that we come to today is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't really give us a lot of information. But later, the church expanded on this statement in what's called the Nicene Creed. You've heard me refer to that a few times. So we're going to jump to the Nicene Creed. This is the expansion of this doctrine. And it says, we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life. He proceeds from the Father and the Son, and with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He spoke through the prophets. It's interesting, if you look at that, we can just keep that up there. The Holy Spirit is the Lord. God is Lord over all. The earliest Christian confession is Jesus is Lord, and also the Holy Spirit is Lord. And I think that's something worth thinking about. The Holy Spirit is someone we surrender to. We don't just surrender our lives to the historical Jesus of the Gospels or to Jesus ascended into heaven, but to this Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, who is our guiding presence every day. Is the Holy Spirit your Lord? Are you surrendered to the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the giver of life itself. God alone is the author of life. And it was, remember, the breath of God in the story of creation, the same Hebrew word for spirit, that made us living human beings. And the creed says the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the Father and the Son, worthy of the same worship and glory. We worship one God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's the word that it's used in the creed, this procession from the Father and Son, this unity of relationship, is something that is eternally and always true. So therefore, the Holy Spirit is not someone new that comes on the scene in the story of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit was not created at a later point in the story of salvation. No, the Holy Spirit was there in creation, giving life, the giver of life, hovering over the waters. And the creed says the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. And we believe that those who wrote down the scriptures for us were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so now at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit has entered into a new relationship with us. Remember, Jesus said this is a new covenant. This is a new relationship between humanity and God. And a big part of that is our relationship to the Holy Spirit. And so although the Holy Spirit has always existed eternally with the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit has always been there, it is appropriate that the creed introduces the Spirit to us after the work of Jesus Christ. Why? Because it is the work of Jesus that paves the way for the coming of the Holy Spirit into the life of every believer. What Jesus accomplished for us, for our salvation, for our redemption, through his sacrificial death, through his resurrection, his ascension to into heaven as our Lord, all of that has made possible the sending of God's Spirit into our lives, into our hearts. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit empowered select individuals from time to time for special purposes. But right after Jesus ascends into heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit upon all those who believe and call upon his name. So the Holy Spirit is Jesus' way of being with us, although he's entered the spiritual realm of heaven. The Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ. Christ is in us because of the Holy Spirit. John Calvin said, the Holy Spirit is the bond by which Christ effectually unites us to himself. Justo Gonzalez put it simply, if we are united with Christ, this in itself is proof that we have the Holy Spirit. And if we have the Holy Spirit, we also have faith in Christ. Do you see what they're saying? The Spirit and Christ are so intimately connected and united. And that's why the Apostle Paul will say in the book letter to the Corinthians, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. No one can surrender to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior unless the Spirit of God has drawn them to this relationship. And so anyone who has given their lives over to Jesus Christ, they've done so because of the Holy Spirit's power and influence. So the Spirit of God is God's gift to all followers of Jesus Christ. And that was the prophecy fulfilled that Peter preached on that day of Pentecost all those years ago. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So sons and daughters, men and women, young and old, receive the Holy Spirit, and God can thereby use them and speak through them. So on this day where we proclaim our belief in the Holy Spirit, I asked our seniors, both high school and college, to speak to you because we believe God can speak to us through them because they too have the Holy Spirit. Amen? So I've asked them to not only give us an update on what's next, but I gave them this question. How have you experienced the Holy Spirit in your life? Perhaps specifically in the life of our church. A few examples I gave them was, what's something God has taught you? How have you seen God's Spirit work through you or through someone else in our church? Where have you seen God alive and active in your life? And then after that, after they answer that question, they're also going to let us know, as far as they currently know, what next steps the Holy Spirit is leading them to take in this next season of their lives.